This is Jan Barbas for Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW, and Curry Matters. Welcome to our show. With me today is Roger Thompson, candidate for position number 2 of the Port of Brookings Harbor Board of Commissioners. Welcome, Roger.
Well, Jan, I'd like to thank you very much for this opportunity to be on your program, and you're taking your time to interview me for this program.
Roger, I've seen your resume, and I see that you have some very extensive experience that includes military service, college education, work in the forest industry, and then later in RV parks. Throughout it all, you seem to have engaged in volunteerism and the public interest. Please tell us a bit about yourself.
Yes, we moved here in 1951. My father built a sawmill where Driftwood RV is parked today. Started the second grade here. I graduated from Brookings Harbor High. Then, for a couple of years, I worked in the mills, commercial fish, and done the things most young men did in Brookings back at that time. Was drafted. And then in 66, 67, I spent a year with the 1st Cavalry in Vietnam. When I came back from the service, I went to college at Oregon State University, majored in business, and a minor in forest products. After that, I started my career in the forest industry, and worked for large corporations, worked for small plants, and ended up one of my times was with Mr. Ford at Rosebrook Forest Products. And I was managing the plant, and when he decided to start the Ford Foundation, he sold our plant out. So I went looking again. In 1995, I had a chance to go to some jobs overseas, and I called my father, and he says, "Son, it's about time you came home. We got lots of work to do around here." So I came back to manage the RV park for the family. During that time, I got very involved in the community. I was asked to be on the chamber board. I was there 9 years, part of as secretary. I was in the chamber promotion committee for about 12 to 13 years. I was in the Chetco Watershed Council for 10, 12 years. Klamath Coalition, I was the Oregon representative and then vice chair for a number of years. Keller Derby Board. So in 2005, I was voted Chamber Volunteer of the Year. So, and I've done this for the love of the community, and I think it's very important that people give back for where they came from.
Why do you want to be a port commissioner? What is it that you hope to accomplish, and in particular, things that you don't already see being done today?
Well, one of the main reasons I want to run for port commissioner is I love the port and the community. You know, I grew up here, I grew up before there was a port, and I think the port's a very important part of the community, and it needs to be looked at. I've been attending port meetings since 95. I've probably got 90 to 95% of the port meetings since that period of time. So I've seen where the port is today from the 95 to today. You know, one of the things is I'd like to see the end of the green building and its demise or whatever we're going to do with it. But I think the most important thing, we need to look at tourism and what it brings. But also we need to work on getting some shops down there so the locals will come down year-round to shop other than just to eat, a bite to eat or something. And the shop I sort of envision is something more nautical with local artists displaying their wares in there that people want to come down and buy gifts for their friends for Christmas or birthdays or whatever. You know, the other thing that the port needs, when I see a port sign on the highway, I don't realize there are shops down there. I'd like to work with ODOT and see if we can get some signage that shows the number of businesses down there. And when they turn off that at Benham or the end of the bridge, they know it comes out the other end. You know, RVs don't turn around very well. They're hooked up on behind motorhomes. Hard. And I think we need to make sure that they know there's something down there besides boats.
Tell me about the green building. It's sitting there. I think it's empty, using up the land, deteriorating, taking up port resources. What do you think should be done about it?
Well, the green building has been there, finished in its state it is today, since 2003. And from there, it's just been deteriorating. And over that period of time, there's been people look at it, The port would almost give you the lease if you'd finish it. The port owes between $600,000 and $800,000 to the state on it. But to finish it up to make it worth to be occupied is $1.2 million to $1.5 million. And it's structurally unsound. We can't even use it for storage at this time. So my answer is, there's been studies on it, my answer is to tear it down, use a good, nice concrete slab that's already there, to put a steel building up with a catering kitchen in it so it can be used for events. It'll also be rented out to people to have parties in and things like that. And I know it won't cost $1.2 million or $1.5 million to do this. And I just think, and if we don't put a building up there, at least we can rent some space to store something on. So I think it needs to go. And I just, and you know, a lot of the events today of any size, because of location here in Brookings and the facilities, are going down to Smith River to Tallawa Center down there. We need to keep that money in town.
So now the port has come a long way. It now has a positive cash flow. Is it time to reduce or eliminate the levying of tax dollars?
Well, you know, I'd love to take it off tax rolls. But I own a small piece of private land in Harbor. I pay about $475 a year to the county for my taxes on that piece of land. I pay $9.70 to the port. So it's not a big deal. But you've got to remember, the port is $5 million in debt. Yes, they have a positive cash flow. And the amount of money they get from the county taxes is about $225,000. That was about their profit for last year. But remember, the port is in this financial shape because of our tsunami. The tsunami was a blessing in disguise because there was a lot of deferred maintenance in the port and the dock area and that seawall that they replaced. You know, the FEMA and the state of Oregon gave us $10 million to renovate and do work in the port. And without that, we would not be in shape and they would not have the money to do these renovations. Also, you know, you talk about positive cash flow. Yes, it is. But, you know, we've had 3 or 4 good salmon seasons in a row with lots of tourists. That's helped a lot. And, yes, they have redone their debt to help them with their $5 million. But let's keep it on the tax rolls for now. And if it's feasible down the road to get off it, that's fine. But we need to work at having some working capital. Right now, there's a $300,000 project going on down the port to repave the area by the fish cleaning station, the boat ramp. $300,000 port cost the port $25,000 in kind or cash to get $300,000. That's a very good term investment any place I've worked. So no, at this time, I don't think it's real feasible. And if we get some extra money, we need to pay down our debt. Until that debt gets paid down and gets under control, how are we going to get any loans or grants because we owe so dang much money to 3 different entities?
I've heard suggestions regarding a fish processing plant or a gambling boat. Do you favor these ideas, and how can they be implemented?
Well, I've never heard of a gambling boat. I've heard many times you use the green building as a casino, but I've never heard of a gambling boat out here yet, but this is a new one. On the fish processing plant, this is not a new idea. This has been in the master plan for 10, 12, 13 years, right after they bought out Eureka Fisheries plant and got that land available. You know, it's. I believe we need to have a fish processing plant here, but not a major big fish processing plant like you see other places. You know, there's been opportunities for all this time for a processor to come in here and build a plant and work with the port to use that land, lease land from the port. Nobody's taken it up on it yet. So, but I'd like to see a small, what I call a boutique plant. We have lots of high-end products out here, such as salmon, Dungeness crab, black cod or sable fish, whatever you want to call it, crank shrimp, petrolli sole, other fish could be processed here and sent out to other places in the United States in the air, by air, either frozen or fresh. I've lived in other parts of the United States, and once you've been a person that lived on the coast of Oregon or the Northwest, you don't mind paying any kind of price to get good quality Northwest products. You know, it's a real deal. And when they say canneries have family wage jobs, well, I've worked in canneries and I didn't know there's family wage jobs. They're seasonal, they're normally minimum wage, and I don't see it doing any different than that. So we need a cannery because a lot of the work that is done or the product comes in gets shipped out to either Eureka or Charleston to be processed or Astoria.
You've mentioned that you ran the Driftwood RV Park near the port for 18 years, and I believe you continue to hold a stake in it. As well, you mentioned upgrading the port's RV park. What do you say to those who wonder if you have a conflict of interest?
Well, I don't feel it's a conflict of interest. Kenny Burtis, that owns Portside RV Park, was on the Port Commission for 16-plus years. And he always reclused himself whenever there was something come up about rates. I do the same thing. But I feel I'd be a big asset to the port because of my knowledge of the RV industry. I carry a designation called a CPO, which is a Certified Park Operator, which you gain through the national and regional conventions when you take classes. I've been the Oregon representatives on the national level more than quite a few years. Started the Oregon RV Park Association, and I feel I could help the port gain some real insight in how to manage the RV park. I don't see it's a problem. Yes, I own interest in it today, and I will continue to own interest in Driftwood LLC for your future.
What specific things would you do differently with respect to management or renovation of the port's beachfront RV park?
Well, I've traveled up and down the coast of Oregon, been involved in the National Scene Park of the Year awards and stuff given out. Beachfront RV park is very unique. It's on the ocean. There's only one other park in Oregon like it, and that's a privately park where the sites sell for $400,000 for 2,600 square feet in Newport. It's a motorhome class A's only. So it's unique from Northern California into the southern Washington coast. And they have it there. I think they're starting to work on it now. They're doing some maintenance down there. I've driven through. I don't call it real renovation. I call it deferred maintenance. And it's looking good, and they're doing a good job. You know, I stayed down there last summer and talked to the campers. They didn't know who I was, with the grandkids. Their Wi-Fi was totally non-existent. And today, RVers travel with laptops, travel with their iPhones, travel with their laptops and iPads, and they're on air, keeping in touch with their grandkids, friends. They do their banking on. Full-time RVers do not really have any place other than post office box someplace. You know, I think that's one of the things I do, and I think my ability would help that a lot for my deal. The big thing I see is, since I've been home, they haven't, their management sometimes has not been the best. How a lot of parks like that do, they hire work campers. And work campers are people that are full-time RVers, that have been around, they have their own RV, and a lot of them have a certified park operator behind their name, but they have a lot of experience, and they've been at other parks. And they work for their site, plus maybe some money, and normally the couple will work 40 hours a week for their site in most parks. They're experienced people. They know what RVers want. But the other thing I see the port needing down there, being an RV park, is they need a small store. And the store should have ice, firewood, some ice cream treats, a s'mores kit. You can buy a kit to have s'mores. Also a few RV supplies. Not enough to take away from the local people that make their living selling RV supplies. But people forget their hoses, break their deal, and so they need that.
Okay, so a store and some Wi-Fi. Annexation of the port-owned properties to the city of Brookings has been on the port's agenda recently. What is your position on annexation?
Well, to me, this has been on the agenda for the last 2 years, annexation. Most people didn't hear about it because it wasn't made quite as public. But it all started out maybe some on police protection for the port. And this will not go away if there's not a change in the board for 2 years. When it came to light, in the last couple months, there's been a lot of time and effort spent on annexations, discussion by the commissioners, discussion by the public, comment period. So we've wasted a lot of time and effort when they could have been working on other things that are way more important than this. Annexation, I'm totally against at this time. I don't see the advantage to the port, or I don't see the advantage to Brookings. The only thing Brookings has to gain out of the annex support would be some transient room tax off the RV park, which amounts to about $40,000 a year at the 6%. You know, they came up the last time about bad water. Well, that rainy well has been up there on the side of that Chetka River for over 50 years, and it's the first time. Will it be another 50 years before it happened again? Maybe. Maybe it'll happen sooner than that, but that's not the reason to annex in. There's other ways you might be able to fix it. So no, I'm against annexation, and I feel most of the people are against annexation. And let's not waste more time on it. Let's get on and move forward.
Thank you. So you've talked about tourism. How would you work with the city of Brookings to promote tourism?
Well, not only the city, the chamber. You know, I think there's been a real division between the three of them the last few years, with the Brookings taking the $25,000 or $30,000 away from the chamber. The chamber got for years, they use 25% of the lodging tax needs to put away for tourism. Well, I think one thing they do is when you have the synergistics of three of them together, working together, you have more money to spend, you know, at Travel Oregon. Page in there is very expensive. The chamber had it for a number of years. It's a fulfillment piece, and the state sends out 300,000 to 400,000 copies of it. A travel guide for the Oregon Coast Association guide, or Travel Oregon. And you need to get back involved with Travel Oregon, SOVA, Southern Oregon Visitor Association, the Oregon Coast Association. They need to get back involved in this. You know, then I think they're all working together, and I've had my experience in the tourism industry. I think I understand a lot more. I've worked with all these organizations I'm talking about at one time or another in my time with the Oregon RV Park Association. The one thing the chamber used to do was send Les Cohen to sportsman shows in both Medford and Roseburg. And what people come to Brookings? Sportsmen. And what do we have? Some of the finest Chinook salmon fishing on the west and Oregon coast. There's 20,000, I don't know, 20, 25, 30,000 people come from these shows. And how the chamber offset these costs was we'd rent the booth, then we would go around to businesses here locally and say, okay, for $150 or $200, whatever it was, we'll put out your brochure at our tables. So that's what we do. I know when I was Driftwood RV, we done it. I know Val Early at Early Fishing done it. I know Beachfront Best Western done it. You know, so there's lots of things. The port did it. So going to these shows would help a lot. And I don't know what advertising anybody's doing anymore, but I know working through the chamber at one time when I was involved in Salmon Slammin', when the chamber bought an ad from Charter at the time, they got twice the number of ads as what they paid for. So it was a big advantage on for it. So I just think we all need to work together, and I'd love to do it. I understand the area. Remember, I'm a native Oregonian, and I love the area, and would want to see it promoted. Just keep working on it, because 70% of the people that live in Brookings today come here as a tourist originally. And And so we need to keep tourists coming, and they spend money. You know, the fisherman might come fishing, but he brings his wife or family with him, and they go shopping, they eat out, and fishermen spend money. We don't care what we spend. We want to go fishing.
I'm out of questions, but we have a few minutes left. Do you have anything you wish to add? Not today. Okay. Well, this has been Jan Barbas with Roger Thompson for Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW, and Curry Matters. If you have enjoyed this show, we ask that you help us get on the air. Please consider joining KCIW as a founding member or a major donor. Thank you.